All dressed up and knowing the blow.
No dough, no show.
Man, that's just mean. That's mean, man.
Sorry.
Time to nut up or shut up.
Gosh, not again.
All right, hello everybody, we are back. What?
Did you push play?
Oh shit, what am I, an amateur? Fuck you.
Okay,
man.
Go ahead, start over.
Don't you ever fucking interrupt
and
me.
And take two.
You don't have to say it. Just.
Okay, and we're back. Hello everybody, this is your host Daniel from Psychos That Should Have Been Made. We're back at work, you know, doing it like we do it. And we are honored to have my co-host here. Almost didn't have Rob, but, you know, he paid off some people. He did a little thing. Yeah, he made it. Maybe had to sell his soul, had to sell his body, maybe. But he's here. Rob made it. He made it.
Cut the early flight. Good job, Rob.
Got the early flight.
It's hard to get here to Germany.
Too many germs in Germany, I heard.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
We just lost them.
But we're German, technically.
There's a city named after us.
There is, Linstead.
I don't know if it's named after us.
No, after us. I'm pretty sure it's named after us. Look it up. There's like 300 people living there. 300 proud souls that live in Linstead land. But yeah. So, Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
All right. Glad you're here. Jeff, always sitting right next to me. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm pretty good. Made the drive. It was pretty good. Only took an hour and 30 minutes.
That traffic in Germany.
that Autobahn. Yeah.
Really backs up around, 6:30.
And then, as always, the one and only. Bring it out for the Monarch.
Well, good to be here, guys. Good to be here. Only took me 10 minutes to get here.
Oh, yes. It pays to live close to the studio.
Did you take the train?
I did.
Metrolink.
Yes.
So, we're very excited for this episode of Sequels That Should Have Made, because we're going to be doing one of our first episodes on an actor that's, other than Patrick Swayze, I have a real bone for. His name is Kevin My Bacon, the pork man himself. Do you think if I was Muslim, I wouldn't like him as much because he's named after pork?
We just lost the Muslims.
No. We have an Arab sheik who loves us, does all our financing. There we go.
Saudi Arabia, the prince. When he comes to, was it Arabic Spring or whatever, they come here. But yeah, so Kevin Bacon, one of his finest movies, other than, what was it?
Tremors.
Well, Tremors, that's probably his best movie.
I would say Friday the 13th.
That's what I was going to get at. Was it one or two?
It was the first one.
The first one.
Gets the spear
arrow
through the neck.
No, was it a spear or an arrow? I think it was an arrow.
It was a spear.
Spear.
Sure. Yeah, he was laying on the bed after he got some loving.
Yeah, some spears. When he got done.
Shoot something from a bow, it becomes an arrow. But if you use it as a handheld weapon, it's a spear.
Oh, I did not know that.
A pointy stick.
So after he got done spearing his lass, he got speared through the throat.
Mm-hmm.
But then how did she die?
Didn't she get cut in half?
Jeff has a condom on his thumb, it looks like. Looks like a Smurfs condom. It's a blue mic thingamajig. But how did the girl die?
I don't remember.
She screamed. I think she got a throat slit.
Well, no, but I'm just trying to think of the logistics here, because the spear, he was laying on his back. No, so the spear came.
She had already a shower.
Yeah, she already left.
Remember she walked to go get a shower, you know?
Yeah. Did she? I thought
she was, all the stank off of her.
I thought she was on top of him still. No. The spear goes through his throat. No,
he was in bed by himself, right, smoking a J.
I'm glad the writers thought about the logistics about that scene, because that would have driven me crazy.
We were having pre-conversations about Friday the 13th, and there's no logistics in those movies.
There is none, but that's okay. They get away with it. Once you get to number 10, you could kind of do whatever you want.
Once you get to number 2, you can do whatever you want.
But yeah, with that said, we are going to be tackling the amazing movie called Footloose.
Hollow Man.
Not Hollow Man.
Oh, sorry.
But that was a good movie, too.
I think anything his foot with, came loose in that one.
Anything with Kevin Bacon. But yes, Footloose. No, so Monarch, would you honor us with a synopsis of The Foot That Is Loose? Footloose.
I would be very happy to, Dan. So Footloose came out in 1984. Kevin Bacon plays Wren McCormick. John Lithgow is also in this movie as Reverend Shaw Moore. And the late, great Chris Penn, Sean Penn's brother, as Willard Hewitt.
He died in Haiti.
So a lot of people don't know that this movie is actually based on a true story.
No.
Yes. It is.
Monarch's coming out with some info.
So I did a little research, and this movie is based off a true story, and I really just have to go off the information I got from the true story. So it happened in Elmore City, Oklahoma.
On a night like tonight?
It was. Dancing was banned in 1898.
What?
To decrease drinking and fornication.
Drinking and fornication.
So fast forward almost 100 years later. In 1980, the junior class wanted a prom. They fought for a prom, and it actually got to the school board for Elmer County. And there was a vote. Two people voted for no dancing. Two people voted for to dance.
Oh, so they had to do a dance off?
Hold on. This even gets better. I get chills when I learned about this. Oh my so God. The president of the school board had the last vote. And he said, let them dance. And that's kind of the last scene that you saw from Footloose where Kevin Bacon or Wren McCormick says, let's dance. And that's where that came from. And I shit you not. And really, that's the whole movie. So it's really about a young man from Chicago. You know, there's no laws in Chicago. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do.
South side of Chicago.
Goes to a Midwest town where there's no dancing, where none. The Reverend Moore ceased dancing because his son and buddies were killed crossing a bridge, driving drunk. And they crashed and they died.
I always have like visions of Stand By Me.
I do too.
Of that scene, like how they died. They're flipping. They got a Gucci.
Oh,
on the train tracks.
Yeah. That's the story.
Yeah.
Remember, like my buddy's another.
Yeah. They flipped. They got a Gucci. The train came by and smacked them.
Oh man, lost dancing.
Oh shit.
So home. Yeah, exactly. So
maybe they thought they're the Lost Boys
hanging from the bridge.
So you got the Lost Boys hanging underneath the bridge. They got a Gucci. It was in Castle Rock. They banned dancing. Footloose. We got it. Now that's a mashup.
And the Reverend Brown or Reverend Brown.
Reverend Moore. Jesse Jackson.
Reverend Moore.
We got Selma here now.
Reverend Moore stopped dancing and drinking in his town.
Was it Reverend Shaw Moore?
Shaw Moore, yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
Sounds like a Confederate general.
It probably does. Was. Yeah. But, I mean, he was a nice guy, I guess.
He hit his daughter.
He did. He well, slapped
so here's
bitch.
Another, here's a little side note. So Kevin, the original movie had a lot of fighting in it.
Yes, it did.
Kevin Bacon didn't, even though this is like his second or third role, but this was his first major role, did not like the scenes where there was fighting. He said, this doesn't make the movie. So he
did a little Gymkhana in it.
So he told the producers and director to let's make all the fight scenes dance scenes. So that's why you see like, him go off, do that one crazy dance scene where he's doing all the gymnastics and stuff. That was supposed to be a fist fight between Shaw and his daughter.
So, but I think what
holy
the...
Holy hell. Full on brawl.
I don't want to see that movie.
I think...
Drop that bitch.
I think what happened was the director, like, they wanted to, you know, he was an upcoming star. So they're like, okay, we'll do what you say, Kevin. And they're like, okay, we need to have other people fight. So like that fight scene with... Ariel, the Reverend Shaw's daughter, and her boyfriend, her hick boyfriend, man, they were going to fucking town.
Yeah, exactly.
They were rolling on the ground and shit.
Yeah.
I guarantee Kevin Bacon was on set that day. He saw that, he was like, wait a minute, this is not what I agreed on.
I'm sure they had to say, we do need some violence in this movie.
Doesn't he fight a tractor?
Well, he plays chicken. They play chicken and stuff in this movie.
But is this Cars? They fight a tractor.
So, Kevin Bacon, you know, he doesn't agree with the town policy, so he wants to dance. So fast forward, he actually has a town meeting where he actually puts it back to the reverend. He quotes a verse from the Bible, Psalms 149. It basically says, I didn't have a lot of time to write it all down, but basically says, so we sang
Jeremy,
to the Lord.
You should know this by heart.
So we sang to the Lord and we danced. So that actually gave them the opportunity to dance. Mm. And the reverend finally said, okay, let them dance. And
no, he didn't. They still voted it down. That's why they had to go find that place that was like, it was right by the town.
Yeah, a little bit outside of town. But the reverend didn't frown upon it because him and his wife were sitting right outside in the field watching the whole thing go down.
That's because the reverend saw but what it could cause about taking away people's rights. And they get crazy with it, start burning books and shit.
Yeah, but, well, and then like, you know, if the reverend was actually like, at the dance, he would see that there was a big-ass brawl.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that, too. I was like, well, this ain't going good for their stance.
Yeah, so...
right outside.
So, I mean... But the movie was great. It was a great 80s movie, 1984.
A lot of montage.
A lot of montage.
Dancing.
Kenny Loggins.
The soundtrack
is amazing.
Well, to this day.
Anything with Kenny Loggins. Mm. From the mid-80s, Kenny Loggins was the man to themes for movies.
He was like a Randy Newman.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. For Disney.
Little people got no reason. And then if you're listening to this and you think Randy Newman was always like Pixar's boy or Disney's boy, listen to his album.
I Love L.A.?
No. his Southern album, Good Old Boys. Then you'll get a dose of real Randy Newman. Just check it out. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, so this movie, like I said, is one of the better movies we've went through, and it deserves a sequel, not a remake. I mean, like they did in 2011, which
that
was a
shit
piece of crap.
Had Dennis Quaid in it.
Who?
Dennis Quaid.
Oh, was? I never saw it. Yeah,
he was a reverend.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
He should have stuck with Interspace, which we're going to do one of these days.
Mm-hmm. Interspace is a definite for us.
Martin Short's
drawback.
Great movies, other than Three Amigos.
They had Meg Ryan.
Good night.
Well, anyways, I mean, let's stay on track here.
We always get off a track. But Jeff, talking to your mic, can't hear you.
Him and Danny Glover. Yeah, that was a good movie.
Too. Oh, Pure Luck.
Pure Luck. Yeah. The Beastie.
Yeah, great scene.
Border Park Mall. That's a good one.
So back on topic now. So one of the new things I'm going to do here is I'm going to say what the movie tagline is.
Oh, I like this.
So the movie. There's a lot of them for Footloose. So the tagline for Footloose is the music is on his side.
The music is on his side.
Don't like it.
I didn't say I liked it. I'm just telling you what the movie tagline was. And
I'm
that's
just telling you, I don't like it.
And
So you're saying to me on the poster, you know how they have the like one liner on the poster. Is that what it said?
That's music's what it says. Yes.
Music is on his side.
Because
thank God for that.
No one else is.
No.
Because his shoes are off his feet.
So, I mean, really, if you look...
Because his feet are loose. All he had to do is tie his shoes. It would have been foot tight. Gotta keep those foot tight.
It just didn't have the right ring to it.
I'm pretty sure they played around with it, though.
Are you sure this wasn't a sequel to Man with One Red Shoe?
Tom Hanks, amazing movie.
Coming up with a lot of good ones tonight.
I think one of our episodes is just going to have to be purely based on the progressions of Tom Hanks. Because if you look at his movies, it's like, how did he get from there to here?
Yeah,
like Joe versus the Volcano and Volunteers, which is my favorite Tom Hanks movie.
Great.
Booze and Buddies to
Bachelor Party. That's
a good one. He was able to take his TV career and move into a movie career.
Well, Tom Hanks is not in Footloose, so I just want to let you know that he is.
He was in Happy Days. He played a guy who knew karate who was going to beat up the Fonz.
Are we doing Six Ways to Kevin Bacon now?
I know.
So basically,
well, he was in Apollo 13 or Apollo 13.
Yeah. That would be the connection.
That's the connection right there.
Connection.
All right.
One right there.
No, we didn't get there, but
It happened naturally.
We have the beginning and the
Do you
end.
See how it worked between Tom Hanks and Kevin Bacon now to Apollo 13?
I like it.
Hence, it all the started... sequel is Apollo 13, right? He went on to be an astronaut, right?
So basically, that's the synopsis. Do you guys have any questions or concerns?
Well, I do have. And I was kind of concerned that you didn't bring this up because, Jeremy, when I was re-watching Footloose, I'm sorry, Jeff was still in my beer. I had to quickly transition it to the other side of the table before he drank my beer. That son of a bitch. But yeah, Footloose actually dealt with a lot of mental illness. So Reverend Shaw's daughter, Ariel, I'm guessing this occurred from once her older brother died in that horrific Gucci
Lost Boys accident.
Yes.
Fucking vampires, man.
That bitch is fucking suicidal. She tried to kill herself in the movie alone, just the movie part. You know, it's like, who knows how many times, twice. The one time when she's straddling the car and the truck, and then there's a semi-truck coming down in front of her, and she's like, yeah! And everyone else like, holy shit, she's going to kill herself. And then when, you know, she's trying to impress Kevin Bacon's character, Ren, when she stands on the railroad track, and Ren's like, oh, we don't do this in Chicago. Get off the fucking tracks.
She had a lot of problems. And, you know, back in the 80s, you know, mental problems weren't addressed very well. It wasn't. She didn't get the proper help. She was sleeping with the bad boy of the town.
Oh, well, so that goes back to what Chris Penn's character, Willard, said about her is like, she kisses a lot of boys. So I guess, and I don't want to say as a girl, you know, guys, it's okay for guys to have sex with a lot of girls, but not okay for girls to have sex with boys. So I'm not going to get on that thing, but she did kiss.
She
a
got
lot
on
of
that
boys.
Thing.
Just saying. She did kiss a lot of boys. So there's something to it there. But yeah,
she was rebellious. And I think you saw that, you know, that's why she was attracted to Kevin Bacon, because
he was an outsider.
He was an outsider. He was rebellious. He fought the law, and the law didn't win.
I love to dance.
Ooh, like that. Mm. Who sang that song? I know the guy died. They found him dead in his car. I fought the law, but the law won.
Did he get shot by the law?
No, they found him dead in his car. Probably OD'd. Hmm. But anywho, we're off track.
Should have followed the law. Just saying.
Well, the law did win.
Yeah.
So that's...
That is the synopsis I'd like to... For Footloose, I hope it was good.
It was a great synopsis.
Very concise, besides that whole thing about world history or whatever you're doing.
I don't know why you were talking about vampires either, James.
Yeah, it's really weird.
You get on these tangents, man.
But
it's not like we interrupt you or anything.
The main thing about the synopsis was I just wanted to let you guys know that this was inspired from real events.
I wish I had known about this earlier. We could have did a whole fucking episode just about the actual story, breaking it down, comparing it. Whoa. Whoa, we just went into a time capsule.
That's later.
That's later for Time Cop future episode. Just you wait. But yeah, that's pretty cool that it was an actual true story. What year did they fight it that they want their prom?
It was 1980, so damn, I mean, it was pretty close to the real movie.
I wonder if it's one of the screenwriters said, I live this. I'm going to turn this into a movie.
And he made gold.
He made gold with... Bacon.
And especially the president of the school board breaking the tie by saying, let them dance.
Which I just recently watched the movie Best of Enemies with Sam Rockwell about the KKK president and that one girl.
That looks good.
It was good. It was pretty good. And that was the same thing at the end. Sorry if I ruined the ending for anyone that's watching this, but if you read your history, it won't ruin it. But basically, it was the same thing. It was a tie to segregate schools, and everyone knew he was going to vote no to segregate schools. And he said, let the colored kids in. And everyone was shocked about that. So Footloose was inspired on civil rights. I like it.
It was.
Good job, white people. Take it back.
But all right. Cool.
All right, Danny, tell us about your sequel.
I'm the one responsible for the sequel of Footloose. And, you know, I've been thinking about this one for quite a while. It's been bouncing off in the corridors of my brain for a number of months now. So let me lay out the scene for you guys. Get you guys. Paint the picture, Danny. I'm going to paint it. We're going to build this sequel. So it starts off pretty much right after, the next day after the big dance, the big prom dance. And you know what? People see like, hey, our kids are happy. They're not trying to kill themselves, you know? They're dancing in the street. I'm dancing in the street. And, you know, their grades are going up. So, like, you know what? Maybe music and dancing is not associated with the devil. Satan.
The evening star.
Yeah, and so people start, you know, letting them read books, expand their minds, dancing. So dance halls start opening up. People start enjoying their Saturday Night Live. So their marriages are getting better. You know, they're partying, having a good time. Bars are opening up. Commerce is coming back to the town. The town is booming.
They could fornicate again.
They could fornicate. You know, they're having a good time. They're enjoying life.
They're enjoying the 80s.
They're enjoying the goddamn, they're sniffing a little cocaine. You know, yeah, let's fucking do it.
So yeah, AIDS post-COVID.
Yeah, man. What to lose? Nothing. Let's just rock and roll. So, you know, so they're living it up. But, you know, time goes by. And Ren, Kevin Bacon's character, he, you know, that class graduates. And, you know, he wants to dance. Because if you watch the movie, he's all about dancing. That's his main focus.
Oh, gymnastics and dancing.
Oh, yeah.
He put was, those two together?
He
oh,
was
boy.
The, yeah, he was a creative gymkata. And so he took, you know, he applied to the famous dance school in New York, Juilliard. And he got accepted. And so he went from a big city to a small town back to a big city in New York. He's doing his Juilliard thing, but everyone else in the small town stayed there, you know, there, and things are going pretty good. Kevin Bacon's character, Ren, he graduates and, you know, he starts to be on Broadway and he's becoming hot shit, you know, and, his good friend, Chris Penn's character, Willard, he goes visit him in New York every once in a while, like, hey, how you doing? But
he did teach him how to dance.
He did teach him how to dance. And, you know, there could even be a story of how
I taught her how to dangle.
how Chris Penn's character, you know, he tried to go to New York for a little bit and, you know, do something with his dance, but he looked like a fucking idiot. He was a hillbilly with a fucking banana or something. And so he
can't dance with boots on.
He cannot dance with boots on.
Line dancing.
But he goes back to his small town and things start to take a turn for the worse. The first event that happens is Reverend Shaw, you know, he embraced dance afterwards because he saw the good, the joy it brought him and his daughter together again. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to start like a dance school at the church and he's going to coach it. But then shortly afterwards, some news start to come out. People started whispering. Some of the kiddos start saying, hey, Reverend Shaw, you know, he's getting a little too jiggy with it, putting his junk in the little kids' faces or something. And we don't know, you know, it was never came out if it's actually happened, but it ruined his reputation. Just destroyed him.
It was all alleged.
It was all alleged, you know, and you
hashtag
know,
me too.
Hashtag me too. Mm-hmm. Hashtag why not you?
sounds like a threat towards me.
Pause for beer opening. Ah, yes. And so he loses his church. But at the same time with this crisis going on, the whole opioid epidemic is starting to hit this town pretty hard. People are starting to, you know, they go from drinking and partying to trying to drown their sorrows in prescription drugs. And it's just the town's just going to crap fast. And the opioid epidemic hits it hard. And Willard.
Hillbilly heroin. Mm-hmm. Oxycontin.
Yep. Willard, you know, he's upset that he didn't make it in New York. You know, he had a basically come back to the small town with his tail between his legs. And so he gets addicted pretty bad. And even Ariel, you know, she goes through, because she was always suicidal and mental illness. You know, she got put on prescription drugs and she abused it. And it's just bad. And then her dad got accused of being a pedophile. And so she goes downhill too. And then the shit hits the fan.
So what you're telling us is that at the end of the day, Reverend Shaw was right from the beginning.
Very much so.
No, what I'm telling you is Rand's character kept the town together when he left.
I'm not getting that feeling.
No. Let me see this. Hey, Jeremy, you're talking about taglines. I'm going to say, when Rand left, the music died.
The whole time you're talking, I'm picturing the scene from Cars with the town going downhill.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm picturing. Exactly. In our small town.
What was the name of the Cars town?
Radiator Springs.
Radio Springs. So Radio Springs.
Radiator.
Radiator Springs, sorry. So the opioid epidemic.
I can dance.
Ben Harris, great football.
Oh, great. Shit. Very believable.
We need to figure out a sequel for Cars. We'll just forget about the other sequels. Let's talk about like the downfall.
Opioids?
Opioids. But what would be the equivalent of opioids for Cars?
Light of gasoline.
Yeah. Diesel moves in hard. The gasoline.
85 octane.
Just fucks them all up. But
ethanol.
Mayor's wife is always chattering.
Black smoke shooting up the tailpipe. Oh my god, Radio Springs. But anywho,
they all buy their meth from RVs.
Bunch of like RVs moving to town, like those tractors with the RVs, like a row of fucking skid row of RVs. They're just all like, come get your diesel over here. Oh man, I like it. All right, anyway, so back to our
tanker is the kingpin.
Oh shit,
the one from Maximum Overdrive.
Oh my god. All right, so where was I with Footloose the sequel? Crispin Willard, he takes it a little too far. Motherfucker ODs. He dies. Word gets back to Ren, New York, that his best bud, the person, his protege who he taught him how to dance, has passed away. So, you know, Ren, he wants to go back and he wants to pay homage to his friend. So he's going to pack his things up and he's going to, you know, make a trek back to the hometown. And so he gets back to what was the name of the small town? Do you know, Jimmy? I never picked that up.
I don't know.
All right. We'll call it Radiator Springs. So he goes back to Radiator Springs and he finds a town in desperation. The opioids just fucked it up. But the other thing is, you know, he wants to get back with Ariel. He wants to see how his old great gal pal is doing. Well, guess what? When Willard OD'd, she kind of like picked herself up by her bootstraps and said, you know what? I'm done. I am done with this shit.
Good for her.
So she, you know what? She takes over her dad's church. She becomes a priestess. And
it's a reverend.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a cult. I don't fucking know.
They pray to the sun, sun god.
Yeah,
she's the priestess to the sun god.
Like fucking Wicker Man.
My eyes. She just wanted
her dad's church.
They're just reverends.
Yeah. Is there a scene where she
wait a minute? Let's not.
Crispin's coffin. And shuts it because she's like, instead of
bouncing off the wood,
she pours it in there like, I'm done. Boom.
Well, that would be at the funeral scene with Kevin Bacon. We're not there yet, though.
Oh, okay.
But that could happen. So wait, before we move on. So a grill is still called a reverend? It's not like a reverend nest or something?
No, it's a reverend.
It's still a
mm-hmm.
reverend?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good for them. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for those Christians.
Equal and fair.
Good for those Christians. But anywho... So the priestess, but she's like, you know what? I'm going to follow in my father's footsteps. My dad was right. There's evil out there and it's my job to protect everyone.
Evil afoot.
It's my job to tell everyone what they can and can't do. And so she says, you know what? Who brought the prescription drugs here? The opioids. Who did this? Big fucking pharma.
Mm-hmm.
Big pharma again.
Yeah,
we're back.
We're back.
Or at least listen to episode.
I know, guys. Come on, Roadhouse. In my opinion, is the best episode. So take a look at it.
Roadhouse.
And by the way, there's coming up with a great documentary about Patrick Swayze on the Paramount Channel. But anywho, so yeah, so Big Pharma, those fucking assholes. She goes, you know what? All prescription medication is bad. So she puts a ban on like all these things, they go overboard. So don't vaccinate your kids. And she's hard on that, you know, and she's putting out all this shit propaganda. But she thinks she's doing right, you know, because it did fuck up her town. She thinks, this is how I'm going to make my stand. And of course, that leads to what happened in the first one. You know, dancing's bad, music's bad. So that's the town that Kevin Bacon comes back to. Ren comes back to. And he's like,
whoa. Whoa. Been there, done that.
What happened?
Gonna change it again.
And so he's looking for...
Pills loose.
Everybody get your pills loose. And so he's like, you know what? I'm going to find Ariel. I got to see what's happening. He doesn't realize that she's the source of this. And so he's like asking, hey, where's Ariel? Oh, you could catch her priestess seminar, you know, on Sunday, Sunday mornings, channel two.
Someone doesn't go to church.
and so, you know, he finds her and he goes, hey, Ariel, you know, how's it going? And she's like, oh, so you're coming back? You big shot, you coming back to our town?
We had a good time.
Yeah.
But that's over now.
Willard's dead. It's your fault.
I was thinking the same thing, Rob.
And so Ren's like, hey, what's going on? You know, maybe there was like, because she got rid of vaccinations, there was like a small measles outbreak or something, you know? And he's like, what's going on? You know, this ain't like you. And she was like, no, my dad was always right. And then Ren's character goes, is that your dad, that junkie that lives behind the church now? She was like, yeah, he's the groundskeeper for the church or something, because he never got over his pedophilia. And he became a junkie. He got hooked to opioids too, you know, and it's just sad. But she's proud now, you know, she thinks she's making things right. But Ren, Kevin Bacon, the big shot that he is, he knows, no, this is not right. This is not the town that I left. This is the town that I came to the first time. And it's my job to bring it back.
You know how he brings it back?
How does he bring it back?
Dancing.
Dance.
What if it's not dancing?
Oh, what is it?
What if he realized it's the drug they're doing? They need a different drug.
There you go. Hmm.
They need what is becoming super popular at the Molly? Time. Cocaine. You know, cocaine is a great drug. Ecstasy.
No, this is the early 90s, so wouldn't it be crack?
Oh, no.
Opioids.
Well, that just brings you down, man.
We're big until the late 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. So let's say ecstasy.
Ecstasy?
So he gets a...
There you go. Feel-good drug. What goes good with dance? Ecstasy.
Yeah.
I like this spin.
He gets a Burning Man starts exactly. And everyone just
Bring it down. Alarm.
I don't know if you guys have ever done it, but you know, you just want to just touch and dance.
Oh, yeah.
It's good times.
It is good times.
We don't promote that.
What?
Good times? I promote good times.
I thought we just did.
I thought we were having a good time, Jeremy.
Remember? Like, hey, guys.
I think Jeremy's a reverend now.
Reverend? No, Jeremy's a priestess. Hey, and his name's the Monarch, so fuck you. Monarch, the priestess.
I don't answer to Jeremy. It's Monarch.
Jeremy.
So you guys remember that time we're on the desert and we're camping, feeling good, and that car of little shit kids pulled up, and they was like, is this where we buy the tater tots?
No, he's like, you guys have the peanut butter and jelly.
Right? No, it was the tater tots. It was the tater tots. I was right there when my dog Tux was trying to get into the car and kill him. And the funniest thing was the driver of the car, the little kid, he was a high school kid, I don't know, but he was like so like sincere that this was the place that he was supposed to say that their secret password, like, this is where I buy the tater tots. Where the passenger, you could tell, like, this ain't the fucking place. Like, he's looking at my dog, just growling at him up on the almost up on the hood of the car, and I'm looking at the guy like, what the fuck? And I think I take the BB gun over there? The Red Ryder BB gun that we had?
I think Robbie was holding
the BB gun. I think Robbie had the Red Ryder BB gun behind me. Like, fucking hot shit with a BB gun.
Where's the tater tots? Back the way you came.
And the whole time I'm
If you want tater tots.
I'm going to get your tots right now, kid.
It was like it was a truly deliverance moment. And the pastor was like, dude, this is not it. Dude, this is not it.
The tear we put in those kids' eyes was like,
and
I could see why people go to that side of crime.
Yeah. And so
real power.
So to finish that tater tot story is that the actual tater tots was about 100 feet from where we were camping.
Yeah.
And it was just a little bit down the way. So
it turned out there was going to be in the middle of the desert, some big giant rave that we did not know about. We were just camping. And those kids were looking for that rave. And I guess to get into the rave, that was the code word, like,
I'm here to buy the tater tots or some bullshit.
We should look this up on Reddit. Maybe it's on one of those scary posts.
It could have turned into a pretty good fucking like movie or something.
If we killed those poor kids.
All I remember all night, man.
Well, what if we had killed one of them and one of them would have hunted us?
Yeah. Well, at 5 in the morning when I got up, when I was looking for the other guy we were with, who was nowhere to be found.
Him Daniel.
Not this Daniel, a different Daniel. But yeah, he was in his sleeping bag, like a football field length away from our camp, just in his sleeping bag. And my dog was with him because I forgot to put my dog in the tent that night. Surprised he didn't get killed by coyotes. But anyways, there's a guy over in the horizon. There's a guy up on the rocks, like, and he was doing
like a fire dance,
with like nunchucks on fire. It was very weird. But I remember waking up to one of their songs they were playing. It was like, telephone rings, ding, 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 telephone rings, ding, ding, ding. Answer the telephone, answer the telephone, answer the telephone, telephone rings. And then my son, Bryce, at the time, he was like, Daddy, what is that? I'm like, shut up, go to sleep. But yeah.
So that's what's happening in this town.
So
now.
Yeah. So Kevin, Ren, I want to live. Yeah. So Ren is like, he's like, you know what? We're going to get some fucking ecstasies. You know, I'm going to get hooked up by this big pharma people. They're going to give me some ecstasies.
They give ecstasies.
Well, it was originally a different type of drug. So this might have been the test group.
Yeah. Because they're not in the town anymore, Jeff.
And you have to remember this is in the late 80s, early 90s.
It's like, hey, man. This is how we get our back in, you know?
This is what he learned in New York.
Yeah. Oh,
this is probably to stop scratching or something.
Yeah. And so he's like,
you got any pills that make you stop scratching?
He's like, yeah. So he turns to his, The Monarch, and it referenced this guy. And the whole time I was watching Phyllis, I was trying to remember what movie that guy was in. But his boss in that the flour mill that Ren worked at, the foreman guy, he goes, hey, I got this warehouse that's on the border you could use for your prom. But I recognize him from a movie. I couldn't figure out what movie he was in. But anywho, if anyone knows, shoot us, email us or do whatever. Ryan gets in touch with that guy. I was like, hey, man, could I use your vacant lot? I'm going to have a fucking awesome rave. It's going to bring people together. We're going to get high on
rings. Ding,
ding. Dude, I hear that in my like fucking sleep for like 2 years after that. Like I wake up in a cold sweat. It was very scary.
Telephone rings. Ding, ding. Telephone rings.
You were scared. Those kids were fucking frightened out of their mind. You can imagine the trip they had. As soon as they turned off on that dirt road, they both dropped acid. They came to our campsite.
I know. They're like, holy fuck. Oh my God.
Wrong turn, asshole.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
Oh my God. We could have really fucked with them if we wanted to.
Yeah, really, we could have really fucked them.
You know what would
have
been good?
We did kind of fuck with them when you're like, this ain't your fucking right
no,
spot.
No, you just said, this is where tater tots is. And we just sit down and have beers. Cool. And
that would have been awesome. We should have said, yeah, this is it. It's just, like they're sitting down. We're just, like giving them beer and just the campfire. And they're like, when does the music start?
Yeah, it would have been awesome if we had tater tots.
Like, yeah, we got tater tots right here, guys.
Got your fucking tots, bro. Hey,
for you, it's free because I like your mouth. Tots look good in those.
You sure they got a pretty mouth.
Hey.
I got a sack full of tater tots over here, but
freshly salted.
Pucker up, pucker.
Hope you like pubes. But
have not trimmed in a while.
My penis looks like a monkey's finger.
It looks like he's about to make the last wish.
Oh, fucking monkey song right there. Oh, shit.
Okay, Footloose.
But, yeah. And so, you know, they get a rave going, and that's pretty much, you know, it. They have the rave, and it's fucking going good, and they're all high. And the priestess, Ariel, she's like, you know what? I'm kind of running a cult already. Let's get really fucking deep into this shit. And so her and Ren, man, they get together, and you know what? It doesn't fix the town.
Does this become a mashup between Children of the Corn and...
It could.
No, I think she just goes, it could. You know what? We should just go ahead and go buy some land down in South America and call it Aerial Town.
Oh, Aerial Town.
And but, we could drink the punch.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, we can shoot you.
Yeah. And they find out, like, you know what? It's not about hate. It's not about love. It's about, you know, things happen. This is life. It's going to be good.
Fucking tater tots.
It's going to be good. It's going to be bad. But in the end, you just got to deal with it. And sometimes the best way to deal with it, do a bunch of fucking ecstasy and dance to music. Telephone rings. Telephone rings. Telephone rings. Telephone rings. Answer the phone. Answer the phone.
Put the tots in the oven. Put the tots in the oven.
Oh, shit. That was a good story, though. I think we need to work more of those stories into our podcast because we have a
life
stories. Well, I'm imagining
we have a lot of those stories.
I'm imagining
we spent a lot of time in the desert.
We did.
Remember when we saw the devil?
Oh, that's a whole. That's the Halloween special.
Oh, that was scary.
Same desert, but we did see the devil. And
fucking scary, man. I have dreams about it.
I wish I got his autograph, but
goddamn.
It didn't help that we did hotbox that tent that night.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why we saw the devil.
No, the rat was another night.
Was that the dude? I don't know. Fucking scary, though.
Yeah.
They weren't there yet. They were coming with Dad.
Who?
Jeremy and Jeff. Remember they drove?
Yeah, they came up the next morning.
The S10.
Oh, yeah. The paintballing.
Yeah.
I felt like that morning I was on surveillance because I woke up early and I got on top of a rock and I had my binoculars out and I could see Dad's S10 truck driving the dust screen behind it.
Up. It's like Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, I know, it was. It was exactly like Lethal Weapon.
John taking off into the forward.
Which was filmed in El Mirage, the desert we used to go to. But this was in Lucerne Valley. But yeah.
Giving away our coordinates.
I'm sorry.
They have porta potties there now.
I know. It's a different desert. The devil would definitely not go there now.
So I do definitely imagine Footloose 2 being a rave. Just like we experienced in the desert with nunchucks on fire in the warehouse.
This is great.
He's like up on a forklift.
I just picture doing the forklift. Kevin Bacon in a fucking mesh shirt.
I think that's exactly where they have it, in that fucking warehouse.
Yeah.
And you know, the priestess cult could be like what they did in Cobra with the axes. Ding 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 ding. A lot of references in this one.
Hey pig.
Well, he was a Kevin Bacon pig. I like it. It all comes together.
7 degrees.
7 degrees of pig.
Kevin Bacon.
7 degrees of pig. Oh, shit. But
We love Kevin Bacon.
Oh.
I wish he played in everything.
Mm.
He was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
He was.
He's been in a lot of things.
At the very beginning.
You're trying to remember.
Oh, yeah. The race.
Yeah, the race.
When Steve Martin tripped over the John Candy's luggage. Yeah. Yeah, Kevin Bacon. You know, that's Animal why I love House, him. He took that small role. You know,
That's Kevin Bacon.
He goes, I get to be with Steve Martin.
John Candy.
That was a party.
That was a rave right there.
Remember when he was in Schindler's List?
He was that real skinny guy with the tattoo on his forearm.
I thought that was the prison movie.
Well, when he cut his Achilles?
Oh, yeah.
What was that called?
It's like
he was on Alcatraz.
Murder in the First.
Where he stole the bread as a little kid to feed his sister.
Kevin had Kirsten Slater.
He was based on a true story, and he was the longest man to be held in solitude or something.
This is Alcatraz.
Oh, that was so good.
What was the other one with the kids? Where here's the
sleeper.
Car? Sleepers.
Speaking of Alcatraz.
Speaking of
Alcatraz. Next movie that we do, maybe what?
Oh, is Jeff? I believe Jeff is going to be coming up for the movie
The Rock.
We are going to be venturing into the 90s. When was The Rock made? 96, I believe.
The Rock was made in 1996.
Damn.
The Monarch was graduating high school.
Oh, Monarch spreading his wings, ready to go out and fight the world.
Yes, was not ready.
Migrate to South America.
What'd you do, Jeremy? What'd you do with that big, bright life of yours?
You're listening to it.
This is all I have, Rob. This is all
Stop
I have.
Stop pissing on his dreams, Rob, you asshole.
That's all I have, too.
But yeah, so...
Not me. I'm really successful.
We know. We know, you asshole.
We know. You're the one funding this. You are big pharma.
Thanks for all the ecstasy.
Thanks for all the ecstasy.
I had to bring
this. This is a constant commercial for his company.
Yeah,
no.
But yeah, so that's the sequel to Footloose. Do you guys want to add anything before we end this amazing episode?
I had a crazy thought
midway
through about Cars, Radiator Springs.
Yes, we kind of talked about it.
What if Radiator Springs and Cars if Maximum Overdrive is a prequel to the Cars taking over the world?
I think we need to be on a certain type of drug to start talking about
saying,
that, Rob.
Just saying. I
agree with you.
I see that.
I was thinking about it, too.
So all the people are gone.
Yeah. They fucking take over.
And, okay. Rob?
I was talking about Footloose, Rob.
But I would like to see that vending machine still just, like, cracking cars. At some point, it's going to run out.
Wait, are we talking about the vending machine in Maximum Overdrive?
No, yeah. Footloose.
Just fucking cracking kids.
People. Well, you put a quarter in, you got a soda back then.
Honey, this machine called me an asshole.
You guys remember that scene in Footloose where the tractor eats that guy?
Oh, it did try to kill him. It caught his shoelace.
Yeah.
Oh my god! It was holding on to him. Yeah. He ain't going nowhere, motherfucker.
That's just a hint towards Maximum Overdrive.
That was a little the movie break. Heavenly Kid stole that. Yeah. They stole that scene from Footloose. Those fuckers.
We are going to confuse the audience with all these references. But it's a good thing.
Hey, if you're listening to this, you got to keep up. You got to keep up. Come on, people. Come on.
Heavenly
Bob
Kid.
And Weave. Bob and Weave.
Bob and Weave. You could listen to this episode 5 times. You still won't understand what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, they weren't in the desert.
They weren't in the desert. But I thought we explained ourselves pretty well.
There's only a couple people that were in the desert with us.
Here. But we talked about it to them now. And so now they were there.
I tell you the truth. When I woke up in that morning and the music was still bumping and I came out of the tent and I was like,
I get down with this.
Where's Daniel? Not this Daniel, but the other Daniel.
We thought he was sacrificed.
We thought. So I had to, I actually almost walked over there to see if.
They were burning him like last of the fucking Mohicans.
Yeah. So I took the Red Ryder out.
You took the Red Ryder BB gun? I just fucking took him out.
Ow.
Just tickling me. We're trying to take your mind off the flames, Daniel.
Slip into sweet nothing, Daniel.
Oh my God. You know what? I'm going to go back and I'm actually going to count how many different movie references we did in this episode. I think we're going for a record. Look at Last of the Mohicans.
Well, I just want to close off by saying that this is going to be a bitch to edit.
No, it is not. It is going to be a gem to edit. It's already going to be a classic episode. I can feel it. But yes, so if you guys don't have anything else, we'll close this fucker out. All right, so we are good. As Jeff mentioned, look forward to our next episode to The Rock, Nick Cage and Sean Connery's classic. Ed Harris. Yes, Ed the motherfucking Harris.
And remember, keep on popping that Ritalin.
Keep on popping. All right, everyone.
In business.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. As always, we love you. We hope you love our episodes, and we're here to make you laugh. And that's basically it. All right. Adios.
Well, I'll tell you, nobody handles garbage better than we do.